Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. Hello, everyone, and thanks for taking the time once again to join us for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am always Jason Ophir, and we're going to delve into the world of what's going on in the world and the paranormal, and I'm joined by the beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry. Sherry, are you there?
Hey, yes, I am. How are you, Jason? It's been a couple weeks.
Yes, well, I haven't been on in like a month, and boy, I have a couple things I want to talk about, but first, how have you been? What's going on?
Well, nothing's been happening. I'm just kind of working out, and the last 4 days, and I need to kick my butt, but last 4 days I've been going on a real strict bodybuilding diet because I want to get my hiney up in bikini.
Sounds like a lot of work. I'm way too lazy for that.
Yeah, it's really that the diet is the worst. It's so regimented, and so you got to weigh everything out, and everything is just have to be precise, and you know, just kind of work it out. So that's pretty much about it. Doing a lot of readings, I've been very, very blessed, and I it's just been wonderful. But yeah, it's just crazy. I'm just, like I said, reading consistently. I had yesterday off. It was so good to be able to finally take a day off. But other than that, I'm just been kind of trucking along. What about you, Jason?
Well, there's been a lot going on. The first thing I want to mention is I have a tablet, and I look at the news outlets and stuff like that to see what's going on in the world. And I came across something regarding the COVID vaccine, and I hate to dig so deep into it because it's hard to know the truth with all the – well, it's the bullshit out there. There's a lot of fake news out there, and I don't believe even the government's being totally honest. But there is some information circulating widely, I might add you. Now, I do say take this with a grain of salt because, like I said, it's hard to know what the actual truth is. But supposedly, some Spanish scientists did some testing on all the COVID vaccines and said that there's a toxic chemical called graphene oxide. Actually, it's a nanoparticle called graphene oxide in there. And he made the preposterous claim, and I do think this is preposterous, that 99% of the vaccine is graphene oxide. Now, why is graphene oxide bad? Well, it basically just kills you, destroys you. Everything from organ failure to cytokine storm to all sorts of things. It's a bad thing. And they're also circulating stories of its containing in the masks that we wear as well. Now, that story has a little bit more credibility to it. Canada issued a warning about it in terms of having graphene oxide in masks. But so that's circulating around. Some people are saying, well, it can't be true because it's not on the ingredient list and all that. So it's hard to know exactly if that story is accurate or not. I do find it kind of alarming if it's true, but again, we don't know for sure. You know, with all the disinformation out there, it's hard to tell. But the other thing I found that is true, that I found interesting and slightly disturbing, is the fact that President Joe Biden is now calling for door-to-door vaccine people to go out and try and encourage the unvaccinated to get vaccinated. I find that disturbing because, well, I don't know. I don't particularly want somebody knocking on my door trying to convince me to get vaccinated. So that's what I got on the COVID front. The other thing I wanted to mention was on a more personal note, was I start a new job tomorrow. And oddly enough, I'm not terribly nervous about starting a new job. I'm more nervous about the parking situation because it's going to be an absolute nightmare. So I am saying goodbye to my old employer of going on 6 years and moving to another system, another health system, and going to be more specialized. I worked at the hospital before. I was kind of doing everything in laboratory related, up to and including drawing inpatient blood. But now I'm specializing in working in a pathology lab. So I'm looking forward to maybe being able to help out with some autopsies. But most of it will be, you know, helping the pathologists and processing specimens and stuff like that. And so that is a new chapter in my life. I I'm not terribly excited about it because I don't want to work at all. But I got to do what I got to do. So I guess I'll have to suck it up and keep being a slave to the system that we've started, you know, or we've had forever, where you work 40 hours a week and you retire at 65, if you live to 65. So back to the rat race with me. That's what
I
got.
Are you working during the day, or what kind of shift are you working?
Unfortunately, laboratories, this is as far as my experience have been, they don't even get busy till late afternoon. So, you know, 1 to 9:30, not my ideal shift. I'm a morning person. I'm going to be up at 6 a.m. every morning. So I don't know what I'm going to do with the first part of my day. I'd rather just be at work and get it over with. So that's not ideal. But, you know, when I first started in the laboratory work, I didn't start till like 4. So I guess 1 isn't terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. I'm a night person, so I'm different from you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to train myself to be a night person again. Go to bed at 1 a.m. But, you know, I haven't worked in months, so this is just stupid. I hate working, but you never know. You have to do it.
Jason, you sound like you're struggling.
Well, it's difficult when you basically are on short-term disability and, you know, the money keeps coming in, but you don't have to do anything. And, man, I've been enjoying life, just playing slot machines nonstop for a month and kicking back and relaxing and getting slightly fatter, not terribly fatter, you know, and have to go back and do it. I'm confident in what I do, so I'm not concerned about not being successful. I know I'll be successful because I'm good at what I do, but, you know, just, you know, ideally my dream, and I don't know that this will happen. I'll probably die before it happens, but, you know, I just want to sell my house, buy a van or an RV, and just drive around and be kind of a vagabond.
Really?
You know, no responsibility. Yeah, I would love... And you hear about these people that do this. They, you know, they're rich or whatever. They just drop everything and disappear and do that sort of thing. And to me, that would just be awesome. Have no responsibility. You don't have to do the 9-to-5 and wait a year to get a vacation and do that. So that maybe that'll happen someday, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I know somebody that lives in an RV, and that's what they're doing. They're RVing all over the place, you know. That's what they decide to do. They don't want to be in one particular place, which has advantages and disadvantages. There's always good and bad, you know, to everything that goes on like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, my best friend lives in an RV. He lives in one of the bus ones, you know, the $300,000 plus ones. I don't need that. It's very nice. I've stayed in it. I just need a small little RV. Having those big ones, it requires a lot of maintenance, you know, and a lot of things can go wrong, and it's not cheap to fix. And so I don't need one of these rock star tour buses. Just give me a little, even if it's just a van, you know. That's probably what I would be able to afford, you know, the van lifestyle.
Exactly, being able to be a little bit more mobile. That would be nice. Yeah. I like being in a permanent place like myself. That's just how I am.
Yeah. It would to be ideal would be to have like a home and then have like a base you could come back to. That would be the best.
Exactly.
But,
having a base. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. You've been hearing about the vaccine. So what is this thing? Is it this guy, is he pretty credible, or is this just something that he kind of thought out of the blue?
Well, I haven't looked into it too much because I, you know, it's just too much effort. But supposedly some Spanish scientist, but it's being reported all over, and I don't know if it's true or not. You know, it's probably not, but I still find it, you know, kind of alarming.
Wow. Yeah, and then they have all these, different variants, you know, that's what bothers me is the, you know, even if you get the vaccine, are they going to be on top of the different variants? Are you protected? You don't know.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I kind of lean towards conspiracy theory, which is probably not really healthy. I definitely think that there's an agenda going on, but, you know, hopefully there won't be a variant that is too devastating, you know?
Yeah, that is taking out a lot of people. Oh, my gosh, it's been horrible. Yeah, and then Rand Paul, he's talking about, you know, how the government behavior is causing a lot of disruption, you know, whether it's health or politics and things like that. And that's Rand Paul is Ron Paul's son. He's an optometrist. No, he's an optometrist.
Well, we'll just have to, you know, it's kind of a waiting game. We'll just have to see what happens, and hopefully things get better, and hopefully they don't get better and then get worse, but who knows. But on a paranormal note, do you remember if I talked about this apparent apparition in my house that we discussed several weeks ago? Did I talk about that on the show?
No, you didn't, and you've been having that off and on in your life, you know. You have.
Yeah. So I should probably mention that because this kind of hits close to home. And so this is – now, mind you, let me just describe my home. This is brand new, like literally brand new townhouse. Like I moved – like I bought it before it was even finished being completed. So maybe there's something going on with the land that it was built on. I think it was just a field, but who knows? Could have been old houses there before. So a couple of weeks ago, and you know the story, Sherry, because I called you. My girlfriend was in the living room, and she was in the kitchen. And around the corner from the kitchen is a bathroom and then the stairs to go to the first floor. This is a three-story townhouse. And as she's in the kitchen, she turns around, and we have two cats. And the cats kind of stopped in the middle of the floor and staring towards the bathroom. And she can't see it, can't see what's in the bathroom because there's a divider. So she peeks around the corner and sees what's the cat looking at. And she sees an opaque black mass humanoid from the waist up with its arms kind of supermaned out. And it just floats by through the wall to the neighbor. Now, she was probably within 8 or 9 feet of this thing, and she just stopped, and I need to tell Jason this. So she told me about that, and normally I would just be kind of like, oh, maybe it's a trick of the light or a shadow from a window or something like that, but the fact that the cat was reacting to it kind of added validity to it. And I had been noticing a couple things here, but I didn't pay much attention to it. because I try not to pay attention to it. When weird things happen, I try and ignore it. And so one of the things was, is I was in bed and I had a nightstand there, and I had the remote to the television sitting on the nightstand. I reach over to grab a piece of gum from the nightstand. Now, mind you, I'm not touching the nightstand at all, the bed, nothing's touching the nightstand. And as I'm reaching over, this remote just starts spinning by itself. It's like starts rotating slowly, but not super slowly. And I'm like, that's weird. But I don't pay much. And then I tried to recreate it, and I couldn't. And I was just like, okay, whatever, you know. So little things. So what I did is I'm like, well, I'm going to invest in a surveillance system. I wired this house with indoor and outdoor cameras, motion-activated, night vision. You can even talk through the cameras. I have 3 indoor cameras and an outdoor camera. I have pretty much a camera on every level of this house to monitor. Now, mind you, not really for the paranormal, but I do arm it at night because I'm curious to see if there's anything weird. And one thing I did notice was there's lots of orbs of all, like, really bright ones that seem far away from the camera, real just changing directions and stuff like that. Now, as you know, I'm not a believer in orbs. I think it's dust or some sort of anomaly. But the interesting thing that I noticed was when the air conditioning is running, it looks like Spirit Central in this house. And when the air conditioner is not running, I hardly see anything. So clearly, this is a dust issue, the air conditioner circulating stuff. But I thought it was an interesting observation.
Wow. So what are you experiencing when the air conditioning is running?
Well, I'm experiencing probably the greatest level of comfort ever in a nice, cool house. But outside of orbs, just not that. Just seeing lots of particulates in the air. And it makes sense, you know. You have air circulating through an air conditioner. It has a filter, but it's not going to filter everything. And so something to keep in mind if anybody's looking for orbs and they see a lot, you know, check to see if you're running an air conditioner, because that will definitely make the dust go around and be quite visible on some cameras.
Wow. I think that, you know, sometimes when you're, you know, when electricity or refrigerator, things like that, that can really impair what happens too.
Yeah. I try not to pay too much attention to it. Weird stuff happens all the time. I believe that if you focus on things, you give it energy and power, and you're just going to make it worse. You know what the strangest thing that has happened in this house? It's not a spinning remote. It's not a disembodied black shadow person. It is the fact that I have a brand new refrigerator, stainless steel refrigerator. I think it's Whirlpool. You know, it's a nice fridge. It's huge, and it's got the water and ice dispenser and all that kind of good stuff. The strangest thing that I've experienced in this house is the fact that when I bought it, the water dispenser worked, and then it stopped working for a year. And then a week ago, it just started working again for no apparent reason. So is that paranormal?
Yeah, paranormal. You know, I can see that, and I'm not doing a reading right now, but it could be many layers. It could be, you know, it could be layers of way before, you know, the buildings were on there. You're talking about the Native American Indians, and then you're talking about the colonials, and then you're talking about people, you know, if that land was ever built, you know, with something, you know, after the colonials. So you may have layers and layers upon, you know, spirits that, and they don't stick to one place. They travel through. It doesn't mean that they are, you know, stick to one place, but they can be from one place to another. And, you know, being spirits, they're not bound to any particular place in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, you may have multi-dimensions plus, you know, many facets of people that are from, you know, maybe a block away or two blocks away. It could be a cemetery. We don't know those things unless you kind of delve into the history.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's too much work. And as you know, I'm probably the laziest person alive. But the second part of this apparition story actually resulted in me seeking medical care over this apparition.
Really?
Twice. So I was so freaked out about this sighting in this house that a night or two later I came down to make dinner, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to sit down here in a haunted living room. So I made dinner. I'm like, I'm just going to take it upstairs and eat it in bed. Why not? It's my house. I can do whatever I want. You know what I mean? I made dinner and I grabbed the plate and I walk up the third floor. And as I'm walking up the stairs, I'm keeping my head turned, looking down the stairs to make sure I'm not being followed by a shadow person. And as I reach the top of the stairs, I miscalculated how many stairs there were, and I missed a step. I thought I was at the top. I wasn't, and I fell. Now, when I fell, my first priority was to save the food on the plate and not create a massive mess. So I did that. I didn't spill any food, but I came down on my left knee, entire body weight. Now, mind you, I'm 270-plus pounds going
wow.
down. Even though I'm on carpet, I just, my entire body slammed on my left knee. And I'd never hit my knee that hard before. And it didn't feel terrible. It didn't hurt. I actually hit so hard that I created a wound on my knee, just a bad rug burn kind of thing. I wasn't terribly concerned about it. And so I went in the next room and, you know, I ate. But then I started looking at my knees and I'm like, these knees are shaped differently. Like, there's bony protrusions on my left knee that my right knee doesn't have. And then I started to see bruising. And I was like, oh, that's not good. Now, I didn't think I broke my knee. I've broken my leg before. But I wasn't sure why my knees were shaped differently. And so then, of course, I started to get paranoid. Oh, my God, what if I fractured something? But I could walk, so it wasn't – I'm like, I'm pretty sure I didn't break – in fact, I know I didn't break anything. But just to be safe, you know, I went to urgent care, and they did an X-ray. And that was all fine, and they bandaged my knee up. And so I don't know. I guess my knees are just not – exactly the same, and I just didn't really notice it until then. And there was probably some swelling that made it look differently, but I was concerned about the bruising because when I had a bad ankle fracture that required surgery, like, it immediately started bruising, and that's all I could think about was when I broke my ankle, the bruising, the whole bottom of my foot, kind of the mid portion of my foot and bottom, it was solid black. I mean, it was nasty. And so that's what I was thinking. God, I hope I didn't get a small fracture in my knee. So that was no big deal. Went to urgent care. Everything was okay. 6 days go by and I'm like, this wound is not healing. And it feels warm. I'd been putting Neosporin on it and there's like some, it wasn't super pussy or anything, but something was coming out of this. And I was like, this, after 6 days, this looks, it looks too angry. This should be healing. And I'm like, this shit's infected. If it's not infected, it's just starting to get infected. And the last thing I need is a infected knee. So I went back to the urgent care and I'm like, yeah, this is getting infected. And it wasn't terrible, but I was thinking it's probably better to be safe than sorry and then get, you know, a major infection and get sepsis, because remember, I work in a hospital. I see this all the time. People get massive infections and die, even from innocuous things. In fact, I had read a story, because I'm the master of Google, some lady got a massive systemic infection from a rug burn. She barely survived, and she ended up having, like, her feet and hands amputated. So I was
kidding.
I better, from a rug burn. So I figure I better go in and, you know, let's just get it treated. I don't particularly want to take antibiotics. And so the physician said, do you want to just go gusto on this and take oral antibiotics? I'm like, no, you know, just get some topical stuff, you know. So I got some topical antibiotics and it ended up being fine. But that whole thing was a result of me being freaked out about an apparition in the living room.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's scary. Did it heal, or is it healing right now?
Yeah, it's fine now. I 6 days of some antibiotic. And, of course, I made the mistake of reading the insert, and it's like, tell the doctor that you're using this. This could kill you even 6 weeks after you start taking it and all this nonsense. And oh, my God. But anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Well, can I change the subject? It's kind of different.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a website called www.guideinhouse.com and talking about Paranormal Horizons. This particular site is you can actually put in your address and find out if possibly if they have any records of somebody died in that house, in that address. It's called www.guideinhouse.com. And so, yeah, it's interesting. I call it buyer beware. And there's a couple people, you know, they responded on a psychic medium post, you know, not psychic medium post, but the Paranormal Horizons post. You know, it's like, does it matter? Well, yeah, it can matter. And you want to ask the psychic medium, yes, it can matter. But, you want to know. And there's certain states that do allow disclosure and certain states that don't. So it's good to know that if you kind of know where your address is, you just type it in, type your address, and maybe it might come up with something. Who knows?
I was actually aware of that, that website. I personally would like to know, particularly if it's like some homicide, you know. I think it should be disclosed.
And each state has their own, whether it's Hawaii or whatever, each state has their own parameters of what's legal and what's not legal.
So did you put your address in there?
No, I didn't put my address in there. No, but you could.
Well, I don't think it would.
In there and see, find out if you get that. But I posted it. I personally, if I knew somebody had passed away, not a natural cause or, you know, just kind of like a pleasant thing, if somebody died in a very bad way, whether it's you know, homicide or mass murder, I wouldn't want to do that. My mom used to tell me, she says, you know, she says, if I knew somebody was doing, you know, whether it's a suicide or something, she says, no, you don't want that. You know, I grew up, like I said, when I did the interview with Joe Panohu of Hawaii Hauntings, you know, I just want to, you know, I just tell people, you know, there's always sometimes residual stuff, you know, that can happen. You always want to know whether you're going to be okay. But, yeah, if you Google that or and you go Guiding House, there's samples of different states that what their laws are when it comes to, you know, disclosure. So, yeah, like Ohio, the Ohio law does not define death in the home to be a material fact. Therefore, it is not required to be disclosed. If a buyer asks and the seller knows, then they should answer truthfully. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, I'm at the website right now, and they do charge, and I think it's ridiculous how much they charge, but just how one single search.
Right offhand, can you share with our listeners how much they charge?
According to what I'm seeing, it's a single payment of $12 for one search. If you want 10 searches, it's $95, and 3 searches is $30, and 5 searches is $50. But that might be worth it. You know, if I moved into an older home that I suspected somebody could have died, I would use it. It's not just death, too. They will report meth, lab records, fire, sex offender, property, sales history, tax, cemetery. I imagine most of the stuff in this report, actually, well, I don't imagine. I know, being a former private investigator, you can get most of this information without having to pay for it because I regularly do.
Wow.
I regularly do that sort of thing. So.
And on the end, I'm looking on this too, it says that you can get a sample. So I press sample report. So as an official, I thought, okay, you know, being we're in the Pacific Northwest, I said Seattle, Washington. And it says, here's a sample, official died in house report, 171 Lake Washington Boulevard, Seattle, Washington. Died in house summary, the information is addressed, date ran. January 28th, 2018, so that's what, 3 years ago? Address 170 Lake Washington Boulevard. How many deaths have they recurred that is reported? One. One associated address, type of information found? None. This person may have died in this house. We found the name, Kurt Cobain. His birthday is not available. His death date was on the house, inside the house, was 4/5/94. Cause of death, suicide. And it says additional info on deceased person. It says Kurt Cobain was an American musician and artist, best known as the lead singer, guitarist, primary songwriter for the band Nirvana. On April 8, 1994, he was found dead in this home in Seattle. The victim of this was officially ruled as suicide by a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. No, if the dining house does not have any records of that this particular property have had any fires, meth lab information does not have any records of this property being used as a clandestine laboratory, which is a meth lab. Registered sex offenders, our data does not show any sex offenders at this located address. You need to visit National Sex Offender blah, blah, blah website for more information. And then associate, thank you for being a customer. We sincerely appreciate your business and reading the sample of this particular sample of the house. So that's quite interesting. Very, very interesting. Huh.
It's amazing and kind of scary what you can find online.
I don't have that problem. I wouldn't have that problem. But what would bother me is something like you said. I mean, suicide, homicide, you know, those kind of things. Very horrible because you know that the spirit is unrested. You know that they're having some issues going on. You know, here's another one about in Beverly Hills. You know, literally in Beverly Hills, it says 5 people have died in this house, in this address. One person is Abigail Folger, her name, in 1943. Date of death, 69, she was murdered. On August 9th, 1969, the home became the scene of murders of Kate Folgek, Folowski, Abigail Folger, and Jay, and Stephen Parent at the hands of the Manson family. Caretaker and acquaintance of the parent lived in this guest house behind the main house and was unaware of these murders. Until the next morning, we were taken into custody by the police who had arrived at the scene. He was cleared on all charges. So it shows different everybody. I'm just looking at this. It shows everybody that was murdered. Everybody. Sharon Tate, everybody. As a matter of fact, I did a reading in Hawaii on a gal who used to be since then, she was the somebody had bought the house of Sharon Tate, and they used to be the caregiver, or not the hair caregiver, but the housekeeper of the place. Crazy, huh? Yeah. Ooh, I don't like that. Not good. Yeah, but you need to know. I think it should be the full disclosure, whether it's just natural causes or something.
Yeah, I would want to know. I don't want to move into a house that has been like a triple homicide and they don't tell you.
Yeah. You wonder why there's so much stuff, you know, so much activity.
When I was a young lad, you know, I'm almost pushing 40, I moved in to a double-wide trailer, and I know I've mentioned this quite a long time ago, but I'll mention it again, with a friend of mine, and this friend worked at my father's hotel, and the reason she had a roommate slot available was because her previous roommate committed suicide in front of her with her own shotgun. He vaporized his head right in front of her. It's crazy. So when I moved in, so basically what happened was so she has this shotgun in her room, and I don't know what his issues were, but she was sitting in the living room reading, and she hears gunshots, and it's kind of a rural area, so he comes back in with this. He fired a round or two off outside. She takes the shotgun from him, unloads it, puts it back in her room. He comes out a short time later. She's back on the couch in the living room, takes the shotgun, points it at her, and then rotates the barrel to his head and basically takes his head off, which literally takes his head off. So when I moved in, I could see as I walked in the front door the buckshot marks in the ceiling, and they had a bookcase right there, and I noticed there was still brain matter on the bookcase that they didn't catch, you know, because they hire cleaners to clean this up. You know, they will actually go into the vents and clean everything out, but they missed part of his brains, and I found it. And man, that messed her up for a long time.
Wow. Was this the place in Portland? No.
No, this is out like east of Oregon City. This is where all this UFO crap happened.
Oh,
and so
God.
I moved into the room he stayed, and we had all that crazy UFO stuff going on, but I don't remember anything terribly ghosty going on. But this was such a long time ago. I remember turning on the light in the room once, and I think the light bulb exploded, and that kind of freaked me out. But there's probably so many explanations for that that it's ridiculous, but I don't remember any sort of strange paranormal thing, but yeah.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That's scary. Very, very scary.
I mean, you see something like that.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's a weird feeling when you go through something like that.
Yeah, I believe that you can feel the vibes. I mean, there's been a lot of instances where I've gone somewhere and, you know, it's just like, whoa, like somebody died in here. Like, you can just feel the energy. Not necessarily bad, but uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. Yes, very much so. Wow.
I actually just remembered something.
Okay.
Here's an update. Here's another ghost update. So to recap, the place that I lived in before, here's just a quick recap, was a lady's basement, kind of half-finished basement. The house was in her family since it was built. Who knows what was there before, in Northeast Portland. And I knew immediately when I moved down there that there's a freaking, now I'm Mr. Skeptical, but I pretty much was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like an entity down here. There's an energy. And the way I felt about it was, you know, you do you and me do me, and it's not going to bother me. I didn't feel threatened, blah, blah, blah. Every now and then stuff would fly off the walls or off the top of the refrigerator. Stuff would get thrown at us, or you'd get touched, But in general, it was, I never felt like I was in any sort of spiritual danger, despite all that. And this was validated because they had a telephone guy come out, and he went down there, and he basically did what he needed to do. He rushed back upstairs and said to the homeowner, "I will never go back down there again. There's something down there." So what I found out is now when I moved down there, a lot of the homeowner's possessions were still there. So she basically put a sheet up. This is a huge room. Put a sheet up, dividing a section where she could leave her storage stuff there. And up there was a bunch of urns for her cats. You know, her cats would die. She would cremate them. What I found out recently was that there were the remains of two people in that room that I didn't know. I thought they were just cats.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know that I would have been cool with that, especially considering all the activity that was going on down there. So you fast forward to when I move out to my new house and another guy moves in down there. And he's like, he goes, no one's talked to him about this place being haunted. He, like, shortly after he moves in, goes up to the homeowner and is like, "Yeah, I don't know what is going on, but there's something down there," you know. He did not identify the specific area I did, but he identified, he said, whatever's down there is by these urns. So, the saga continues in that house.
That's crazy. And you never heard anything else after, huh? Nothing.
No, I never felt threatened. I felt uncomfortable in the one end of the basement, but where I felt the presence was, I had to walk by it, but I didn't have to exist in it. So, and I really believed that it was kind of a mutual thing, stay out of my way and I'll stay out of your way kind of way. And despite the fact that weird things would happen to get my attention, I never felt like, I wasn't getting scratched or pushed or choked or nothing like that.
Wow. Yeah, nothing weird, you know, like you're something going to bother you in the middle of the night or somebody creeping in your bed. You don't need that.
No, I was more concerned about the radon potential than I was the ghost.
Did you find out if you had any radon levels?
Well, you know, every day I would wake up, my lungs would hurt, and I don't know if that would be radon or formaldehyde or whatnot, but it was in a very high radon area, so I'm pretty much no. That the radon level down there is pretty good. I knew that there was no ionizing radiation because I had a Geiger counter. Radon's radioactive, but it doesn't really translate well to Geiger counters. That was an interesting experience being a basement dweller.
You've been there for a long time, that I know of you.
Several
Absolutely.
Years, yeah.
Yeah, I met you before you even moved into that basement. I met you
yeah.
when you were married before. I can't believe her. I'm going on 6 years in October with you.
That's a long time.
Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah, it's been able to, you know, get some good guests and, you know, things kind of move a little bit, and I'm glad we're not going to have to move, you know, Paranormal Horizons. I was kind of wondering if we would have to move our time, but it isn't. So, but, yeah, everything we see and feel and touch is just being connected, and, you know, everything should be okay, I guess, you know. I just take one day at a time and try and make the best of it. Really do.
That's really all you could do, especially in this crazy world we live in. Hey, did you see the this isn't paranormal, kind of going between paranormal and not paranormal. Did you see that condo collapse in Florida? Is that not the craziest thing you've ever seen?
I saw a little bit. Be honest with you, I don't see too much news because I've got enough negativity, you know, if I want to look for it. But, yeah, I saw that briefly. I don't know the details, but I saw very briefly about that. So how many people? How many people did they lose? Or how many people were, whatchamacallit, what happened?
Well, I haven't been following it much, so I just get, I believe, confirmed dead of 50, and there's still like 100 and some missing.
But really?
What's crazy about it, you know, you don't typically, because the United States does certain things very well, certain things not so well, but one of the things that the United States and city and state governments do fairly well is engineering and code requirements and code inspection and stuff like that. So it's very unusual to see a bridge collapse or a building collapse. But what's impressive about the condo was just the magnitude of the collapse. I mean, it was massive. You know, it's in a huge building, at least half of it, just flat out pancaked. And it's just astonishing to me that they, I would not want to be on that HOA board. I couldn't imagine how the legalities of that, you know, condo ownership's kind of weird and stuff like that. And so I'm on the HOA board where I'm at, but man, I don't know what those people are going to do. Like, who's going to pay to rebuild? And condo HOAs, you know, assess special assessments for repairs and stuff like that. And I know there'll be insurance, mm-hmm. but that's going to be a total nightmare if you survived that.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, all those 50 people, and what about the liability? You know, oh boy, are they going to come after them or what? Kind of scary.
Yeah, and the HOA knew there were problems, and
that's kind of open for liability, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know that individually the HOA can be sued on an individual basis. There are certain laws. I don't know what the laws are in Florida, but there are protections so that the individual board members can't be held liable. But who knows? I don't know Florida law. I'm not a lawyer. We had a situation here where a non-voting board member was, I thought maybe he was going to try and cause problems for our board. And so, of course, then I Googled anything to make sure that I personally couldn't be liable. So that's how I know about that. But, yeah, it's just ridiculous that something of that magnitude happened in the United States. Normally you see those in third world countries, you know. Where things just collapsed.
Yeah. Oh my
God. Because there's no building code enforcement.
So that's the kind of place where there's going to be a lot of spiritual activity, unfortunately.
I wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that has to be one of the. Hopefully, they whoever died quick, and wasn't buried for days. And I mean, just. That has to be one of the most traumatic, nasty ways to die is to be alive and wounded or not wounded and trapped in rubble. And, you know, people just can't get to you. They can't just run in with bulldozers because there's, you know, they don't know if the other parts are going to collapse or whatnot. And that would just be a terrible experience.
That's true. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so what's going in that's positive anymore? Anything positive? We can really.
Well, here's what's positive right now. I'm like legitimately ordering Uber Eats right now. I'm ordering Thai food as we speak. That's positive.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. I love Thai food. You know where I've been having a really a craving, and I think I'll do that tomorrow because I am Vietnamese. I think I'm going to make some Vietnamese food tomorrow. It's not fat. It's not a lot of fat. I can put a lot of protein and just watch my carbs. I mean, I'm limited to a certain amount of carbs, but I can, you know, watch my carbs.
No biscuits and gravy for you. Oh, I love a good biscuits and gravy.
No stuff that I really like, you know, like, my girlfriend had, she made like a tuna helper kind of thing. It was really good and everything. I took one tiny bite, but no, I'm staying away from all bad stuff. No cream. You know, I got, sugar-free creamer for my coffee. You know, I got carbohydrates, but I'm very complex and I have to be very careful what I eat. So it's just basically I'm eating really clean. No processed foods, no sugar. If I eat carbs, it's going to be very complex carbs. My kids tell me it's really awful because in the morning sometimes I'm too lazy. I'm like, yeah, I'm lazy. So instead of making white eggs and then having, you know, white eggs and oatmeal, I'll mix the white eggs with the oatmeal and put sometimes whey powder in there, and then I suck it up.
So you're going to live to your, like, 130. Meanwhile, I'm probably one order of fries from a massive coronary.
Well, my stomach is real clean. As a medical medium, you know, in Chinese medicine, I can feel my stomach is really, I can feel my stomach. I don't have the bloating. I don't have the sluggishness with the stomach, you know, moving and everything. It's pretty clean. So I notice that when I'm eating clean, I don't feel bloated. I don't feel like it's I don't feel like a gut bomb in my stomach. I'm not, you know, having things that are real sluggish and like I said, not moving and just feels like a pit in my stomach and I don't feel good. So it's just a different lifestyle. It's really, I get the cravings, believe it or not. I really do, but I got to fight it and eat things that are more healthier, like carrots. I'm eating carrots. I got a craving for something carbs, you know, whether it's a donut or something. So I'm just munching on carrots, and that kind of satisfied my cravings. Pizza, no pizza, nothing like that. Can't eat that.
How can you live without pizza?
I love pizza. I love
like
that. I love all that stuff. I'm tired of my stomach feeling bad. I just feel sluggish. I don't feel healthy. I don't feel like I'm, you know, I just don't feel as good as I am when I'm sacrificing and eating clean. And if I want to get on stage lean and everything, I have to keep my diet in check. I have to, once in a while I can, you know, have a cheat meal. But the main thing is just really eating clean and sticking to high protein, low carbs and vegetables and things like that. Hardly any fruit. I don't eat hardly any fruit.
Damn.
I know. I did that for 7 months, too, a couple of years ago. About a year and a half. I did it for 7 months solid. So I know what it's like, you know. I don't really have to weigh out my food, but it's better to do that. I weigh out my food, you know, have certain amounts, having little meals, but lots and lots of protein, lots. You know, from tuna to salmon to, you know, you can have your red meat. So depends on your coach. Some people they know you just got to have, just turkey. But, no, I think as long as you don't have too much fat, you want to have a little bit of fat. I went into it really lean, and I have to say my body looked really great, but my face looked so gaunt it was not even funny. So I have to have a happy medium. You know, I don't want to look gaunt, but I want to be able to get chiseled again. I still have muscle, but it needs to be striated like it was. I feel healthier, too. I really do. So I made up my mind. And everybody else around me, I've got people around me eating all kinds of stuff, tuna helper, you know, chocolate, donuts. And I was like, no, I don't eat it. You know, I'm not like, oh, my gosh, give me a piece. No, I'm just tired of feeling sluggish, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe that explains why I'm bloated and have all these chests and stomach pains all the time.
That could be. That could be very well. Your diet could be a big portion. I tell people, you know, I have people that come to me for weight loss, and then they're on a weight loss program. It's not about eliminating. It's not like cutting yourself out. It's just kind of slowly. But, again, I am not what I suggest what I would do. Just cut back slowly. But I tell people I'm very upfront. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I don't have a degree in that kind of thing. It's like I'm in Chinese medicine. But what I would suggest myself for myself is just cut back a little bit, you know, cut back a little bit until it's manageable. But, again, I am not a medical doctor. I cannot make a prognosis or a diagnose, just like naturopaths and
I have a degree in being good-looking.
Yes, you do. You
I've
are.
Got a PhD.
But anyway, no, we're doing good. It's been a while since we've been on air. We're almost done. But, no, we're going to – I don't know. I, let me get a hold of Steve Stockton was going to come back. And so let me get a hold of him for next Sunday and square that away. And he's a local author, and I think he's been on TV. I have to go back and go through the bio, but let me get a hold of him, see if he wants to come back on next Sunday, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Well, I guess we can wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for listening to us ramble on about various subjects. Hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. We'll see everybody next Sunday at 7 p.m. Unless you have anything else, Sherry, I'm going to anxiously be waiting for my...
And anybody wants to get a hold of me, they can go to on Facebook, join us on Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, and or... go into Psychic Medium Sherry, C-H-E-R-I. You can get a hold of us. You can just leave a message. One of us will get back to you. Anybody who wants a real reading, a reading, whether it's Chinese medicine or psychic and or mediumship, they can get a hold of me on Psychic Medium Sherry or www.psychicmediumsherry, C-H-E-R-I.weebly.com. They can go and fill out the contact form. And go from there, and I will contact you as promptly as possible in between clients. But in the meantime, hey, take care, everybody.
Yep. Good night, everyone, and hope everybody has a great week. We'll see everybody next weekend. Good night.
Yes, definitely next week. Unless anything changes, we'll see you guys. Take care. Peace.
Peace.